and the top it's 152, and the bottom is 288. Okay, last week we were learning, the Alter Rebbe quotes the pasuk that says, you should know today and put to your heart that God is the God in the heavens above and the earth below. So he asks a very simple question. Why does the Torah have to tell us that you should warn your heart, so to speak, and put to your heart that there is no other God? By definition, there can't be any other God. So why does the pasuk have to tell us that you have to make sure to realize that there's no other God? So he started explaining as follows. The Baal Shem Tov said on the pasuk of Tehillim, La'elam Hashem Dvarcho Nitzah Bashamayim, that forever God, your words are standing in the heaven. So the Baal Shem Tov elaborated on the Medrash that explains that what does it mean, God, your words are standing in the heaven? That the words that God said at the beginning of creation, let there be a heaven, that those words are constantly standing in the heaven. Because if God's words that said, let there be a heaven, would leave for a second, and this we're up to now, the world would become nothing again. And let's see it inside. From the top of the page is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. 10 lines from the top. The Alter Rebbe says as follows, if the letters of God's speech would leave for a second, and go back to their source, the whole world would become nothing again, would be literally nothing, just as it was before God said, let there be a heaven. Which means, the power of God, as we discussed last week, God doesn't speak, God doesn't have a mouth, but it means, just like speech, is a revelation of a previously concealed thought. So what does it mean? God spoke, God had a power to create, but it was hidden. God, Vayomer Elokim, God spoke, God revealed that power that he had to create, and it became created. So when God created the heaven, the power of God must constantly be in the heaven, or in every object in the world. If God's power would leave the heaven for a second, the world would disappear and be nothing as it was before God spoke. What does it mean? Sometimes you take a pencil, you write something, you erase it, but you can tell something was once written there. Here, the world would become nothing as it was before God created it. And he's going to explain this whole concept in great length, why it's like that. And he says, V'chein, not only the heavens and earth, V'chein kol abruyim shebuchol ha'elamis, the same thing, all creations that exist in every world, al yeinu v'tachteinu, whether it's the spiritual worlds, the lower worlds, afilo aretz alazu agashmis, even if it's this physical world, and not only in the physical world, even in the inanimate object like a stone, like a rock, if for 1 second the letters of God's mouth would leave from the 10 sayings that the world was created with in the 6 days of creation, he would become nothing again, like it was lifnei sheshi simei bereshis mamish. So he says, not only the heavens, but every creation of existence. If Hashem's power would leave it, it wouldn't be. That means, if God's power would leave this table, the table wouldn't exist. And the only reason why the table is existing is because there's a power of God constantly recreating the table that it exists. And if the power would leave, it wouldn't be. And he says an interesting concept. This is what Arizal writes. Even in the inanimate, like stones, dirt, or water, there is a spiritual soul. People don't look in inanimate objects like a stone, that there's a soul in the stone. The Arizal writes that even a stone has a soul. Not a human soul, not like an animal soul, not like a plant soul, but an inanimate soul. What is the soul of an inanimate object? The fact that it exists is because there's a power of God in the rock making it exist. That is the soul of the rock. It can't move, it can't talk, it doesn't grow. But the fact that there's a power of Hashem in the rock, keeping it existing, that is the soul of the rock. Which means the power of Hashem. Because if the power would leave, it wouldn't be. And he says, and now the Alter Rebbe asks a question. And this is a general question of what the Alter Rebbe just said. He said that the power of God, that God spoke in the 6 days of creation, is constantly in the world. Okay? So he gives the analogy of the stone. God said, let there be a stone, and that power of God that's in the stone is keeping in existence. So the Alter Rebbe says, if you look in Chumash, it doesn't say anywhere God said, let there be a stone. It doesn't say anywhere God said, let there be a table. It doesn't say anywhere in Chumash, let there be a chair. So how can you say there's a power of God in the stone when the Chumash doesn't say that God said, let there be a stone? So where does the stone get its power of God from if it's not mentioned in the 10 utterances that Hashem created the world with? So he says, "V'avshali huskashim evan basarim aymaris shabateira." Even though the name Evan, or for that matter, any other object, is not clearly mentioned in the Torah, aval b'kei nevertheless, nim shechayis la'evan, life comes down to the stone. Aidei tzerufi v'cholufim asius, through the combination of letters, the exchanging of letters, hamizgalgal is bereish lamedal v'sha'arim, which are roll around in the 231 gates. Panim va'achar, front and back, like it says in Sefer Yetzirah. It's an interesting mathematical concept. If you have two letters, like you have Aleph Beis, okay, you can make two combinations with it. Aleph Beis, Beis Aleph. If you have three letters, Aleph Beis Gimel, you can make six combinations. Because you can have Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Aleph, Gimel, Beis, Beis, Gimel, Aleph, Beis, Aleph, Gimel. You know, just mathematically, it's the same thing. If you have three numbers, you can make six combinations of the numbers. From the 22 letters of the Aleph, Beis, you're able to make 462 combinations of letters. Just of two letters. Like Aleph, Beis, Beis. So from 22 letters, you can make 462. But one is frontwards and one is backwards, like Aleph Beis and Beis Aleph. So that's why in Sefer Yetzirah, what he quotes is the 231 gates of front and back, because it's really 462 double, 231. It's 462, so there's frontwards and backwards. So he says, let me explain this concept, what he's answering here. That's stam parenthetical. In the 10 utterances of the world, there are general creations and there are individual creations. For instance, when Hashem said, let there be a sun, the sun is a general creation of the world. It's not a small little tiny creation. It's fundamental existence. So in the 10 utterances, clearly, Hashem said, let there be a heaven, let there be vegetation, let there be a sun and the moon, let there be this and that. Hashem was speaking about the general creations, the massive creations. But throughout the combinations of letters, in the 10 utterances from the beginning of creation, you will find the name Evan, you will find the name Shulchan, you will find the name Kisei, through combination of letters, numerical values of letters, acronym of letters, Rosh Tevis, Safot Tevis, through the various combinations of letters, in the 10 utterances, the Asar and Maimaris, that Hashem created the world, you will find the existence of every creation that exists. But the stone is not such a major creation that needs an open power of Hashem in it. It's a detailed creation. So therefore it has the concealed power of Hashem in it through numerical values, exchanging of letters, combination of letters, and so on and so forth. But Alter Rebbe is saying that everything that exists in the world has the letters that gives it the life and the sustenance of that particular creation. And therefore, Alter Rebbe is going to explain the Hebrew name of a word, of an object, is the lifeline of that particular object. The same thing applies to people. There's a Medrash Chassidus brings to prove this concept. It says in the Medrash that after Hashem, you know, Adam Rishon was the last thing created. So it says that after Hashem created Adam, the animals that were there earlier, the Malachim, the Malachim, the angels, came to Hashem, and they said, who's this new kid on the block? You know, this guy Adam, who is this guy? So Hashem said to the angels, be quiet, he's smarter than you. So it was like, prove it, you know. Hashem said, I'll prove it. He took all the animals of the world, and he said to the angels, name them. Name them. And the Medrash says they couldn't do it. And then Hashem brought Adam Rishon to the animals, and Adam Rishon says, this is nice to be called a sus, this is nice to be called a chamor, this is nice to be called a gamel, meaning a horse, Adam Rishon said, this is sus. A camel, this is gamel. A donkey, chamor. Yeah? So this is what the Medrash says. So the obvious question is, every yukel names their dogs. I mean, what's the big deal to name an animal? What's the big deal that's the way Adam Rishon proved his wisdom over the angels, that he was able to name the animals and they couldn't? Why couldn't the angels? The angels are brilliant. Why can't they name animals? So Chassidus explains, this is exactly what the Medrash is saying. When the animal is called sus, horse, is called sus, Adam Rishon was able to see the lifeline of the horse, where it gets its sustenance from God. And he said, the letters, Samach, Vav, Samach, that make sus, is the lifeline of that particular animal. And this lifeline has to be Gimel, Mem, Lamed, which is Gomel, which is a camel. So Adam Rishon's greatness and great spirituality and brilliance was that he was able to look at the objects and put the lifeline into the name of the animal. And therefore, as we learned, when parents name children, when they're born, not later, when the parents name children at birth, with bris or naming, whatever, when a parent names a child, it's a prophecy given to the parents. Not that they see the lifeline, not that they know the lifeline, but God gives the parents the prophecy of naming the child based on the lifeline of that particular child. And this is a prophecy that God gives to the parents. And therefore, as the Rebbe told people and brought down in Sodom, grandparents have no right to mix in, the mothers-in-law have no right to mix in, the father, the cousins, the uncles, the aunts, everybody mixes into the names. It's a prophecy given to the parents, and therefore only the parents have the decision what to name the baby. Because angels are not that great. The angels didn't have that greatness, or don't have that greatness, to be able to see the lifeline of the objects. But when Hashem created the world, Adam Rishon didn't call it Evan. Hashem called it Evan. But it's not openly in the 10 Asar and Maimaris of creation, because Evan is only a detail. Right? And the general creations, the fundamental creations, Hashem said clearly in the Rakia, you know, Or, Shemesh, Yoreach, whatever it is, you know, Behemoth, Chayis, Davis, Dudogim, those Hashem said clearly. The other type of objects, Hashem didn't say clearly. But Al-Treb is saying, though, that even a stone, which is inanimate, that can't move, nevertheless, there's a soul in it. What is the soul of the stone? The power of God that keeps it existing. And if that power of Hashem would leave for a second, it wouldn't be. And that's what he says at the bottom line of the page. To the extent that it becomes drawn down from the 10 utterances, through this combination of letters and so on, and it comes down the formation of the word Evan, that becomes the existence of the stone. And if the chayis leaves, it's non-existent. The same thing, all creations in the world. the names that they're given, the Lashon, meaning not the secular names, but the Hebrew names that they're given. Hein hein eis yisadibra, these are the letters of speech of Hashem. Hamishtaushus mi madrega la madrega, that comes down from level to level. Me'asara ma'imara shebetera, from the 10 utterances of Torah. Aidei chaluv matmura sa'esis, like you said, the exchanging of letters, combinations of letters. Bereish la manal of Shom, the 231 gates that he spoke about before. Ache magir su mislapshes ba'esin nivra. Lachayusei, until it comes into that particular creation, like the stone, the water, the dirt, whatever, to keep it alive. And he says, why can't they have a clear name in the Torah? V'shem prati anivroim, because the detailed creations are not able, lekabel chayusa mi'asara ma'imaris atzmam, from the 10 utterances themselves. Because if Hashem's power is coming down, the 10 Asorim Ma'imaris, the 10 utterances, the 10 sayings, are very powerful. A stone doesn't have the ability to retain that much godliness. It's too much for the stone. The stone needs a concealment of power, a limited amount of power, less, until that amount of power is able to come into the rock and make it exist. Because it's too much power, it's like you're going to blow a fuse, you know, too much power, you're going to break it. You can't have so much power coming directly from Hashem in the 10 utterances to be able to give life to the stone. Because it's going to platz. And he says, "Ven koyach b'am l'kabel achayis." You don't have the koyach, the ability to receive it. Alay de sheyered achayis, through the chayis going down. U'mishtaushul mimadrega l'madrega. And it goes down from level to level. P'chusa mimena, less than it. Aidei chaluf matmura sa'esius, through the exchanging of letters. And now he adds also gematrios, the numerical value of the letters. Shein chesh bin a'esius, which is the numerical value of the letters. Acheyochol is tzamtzim, to the extent that it's able to limit itself. V'lislabish, and to dress itself into the stone. V'lisavis mimeno nivra prati, that it should create this detailed creation. So it's an extremely limited, concealed amount of godliness that comes into the physical detailed creations to keep them existing. And he says, V'zeh shmei asher yikru le'baloshin ha'kedesh, the name which is given in Hebrew, who keli l'chayis, is the vessel for this limited life, ba'esi yishem zeh, from the letters of this name. And this is another concept which has to be explained a little bit. Letters, what are letters? What are words? Letters are basically vessels. What does it mean? If I want to explain an intellectual concept, or any concept for that matter, you have to explain it in words. Now the letters are meaningless, basically. When I form letters in a certain way, then they give over a certain meaning. They're the vessels, the keli, the utensils, to reveal an intellectual thought. Or if somebody has a feeling in the heart, and they say, I love you. The letter I, L-O-V-E, Y-O-U, is basically nothing. You can take the L and put it anywhere in the world. It won't mean that. When you combine the letters, I love you, what does that mean? That the letters are the vessel in this formation, L-O-V-E, because if it's a different formation, it would be something else. But in this formation, these letters, in whatever language you speak, are the vessels that transmit and reveal a concept that I want to bring out. The concept I want to bring out has nothing to do with the letters. All the letters are vessels to reveal it. The same thing with intellect. If you explain something intellectually, you can have two people explaining the same intellectual concept with completely different words. It's the same concept, not only different words. A guy can say it in English, in Yiddish, in French, in German, in Spanish. It's completely different words. All the letters are vessels to transmit this concept or this feeling. The same thing in creation, the name of the object, like he's giving an example of stone. Aleph, Beis, Nun are the vessels, Aleph, Beis, and Nun, in this formation, because you could take the word Evan, Aleph, Beis, Nun, and switch around, you get the word Novo, we will come. Right? Novo means we will come, and the same letters in a different order is Evan, stone. What does Novo come to stone? In Torah you have words that have the same letters have a connection between them. One second. But in this you have that the letters are actually revealing that power of God. Meaning, there's a power of Hashem in the stone keeping in existence. That power is channeled through the letters Aleph, Beis, Nun, which means Evan, which means stone. Shulchan has a power of Hashem in the table that's transmitted to it through the letter Shin, through the letters Shin, Vav, Lamed, Ches, Nun. Same thing with animals, same thing with people. It doesn't matter what the object is. But the primary thing he's saying is, the Arizal explains that every object has a soul which keeps it in existence. Some things have a soul that allows it to grow, like plant life. Some things have a higher level of soul, like an animal. And certain things, like people, have a higher level of a soul. But everybody has a soul just to keep it existing. What? No. There is a power of Hashem keeping the spaceship in existence. Right? Obviously, the letter S-P-A-C-E-S-H-I-P is not going to be the highest of the elokus in it. But there are letters in Hebrew that would define, in Lashon Kiddush, what that should be. I don't know. I mean, whatever it is. By the way, modern Hebrew has nothing to do with this Lashon Kiddush bit. I'll give you an example. In modern Hebrew, and G'daylum were against this at the beginning, now everybody's immune to it. The Hebrew word for electricity or light is chashmal. Yeah? Chashmal is a word of the Merkava of Hashem, which refers to a gilui of Elokus. In the Merkava of Yecheskel, that we read in the Avteira on the first day of Shavuos, it refers to a tremendously great, Kein chashmal, it refers to a tremendous great revelation of godliness. So they took a word that means the great revelation of godliness and they made it into electricity. I mean, people are, why are you taking such a holy word, which means a revelation of godliness, using it to into electricity? But that's what he says here in Lashon Kiddush, not Nivrit. What? Every question is good. Right.
So what if somebody passes away? The body is still there. So it doesn't mean that the power of Hashem leaves the body, then it disappears from
you. It's a very good question. Why are you asking? It's not a good question. Chassidus asks the question. Chassidus says, if the neshama is giving existence to the body, then when the neshama leaves the body should disappear. So Chassidus says, from that we see that the body has its own power besides the neshama. But it's connected to the neshama, and therefore after a while the body begins to rot and decay and become non-existent. But Chassidus explains the body has its own soul keeping it in existence. What is that? Because you look in Chumash, Hashem said, let us make man. Hashem made man, and then he blew the neshama into him. So when Hashem said, let us make man, he's referring to the body. Then it says, Vayipach ba'apav, Hashem blew into his nostrils a neshama of life. So there's two parts of a person. There's a part that the body has by itself that keeps it in existence. But that's also basically connected to the neshama that after a while it begins decomposing and disappearing, taka. And all you're left with many years is a skeleton. Because the body, taka, does not I'm sorry, does have its own power besides the fact of the neshama. And that's why Chassidus explains concerning this issue that God's creation of the world is more than the neshama and the body. Chassidus explains, the neshama doesn't create the body. And the proof of it is, when the neshama leaves, the body doesn't disappear. So the neshama gives life to the body, but it doesn't create the body. The creation of Hashem, the power of Hashem that He put into the creation, is the existence of it. If you have a car, and you have an engine, or a battery in a toy, whatever, right? The battery doesn't create the toy. When you take out the battery, the toy doesn't disappear. The battery makes it move, makes it usable, right? The neshama doesn't create the body. The neshama gives life to the body like a battery. The only difference, like we said, eventually when the neshama leaves, the body starts rotting. Hashem doesn't give life to the world. Hashem in the world is making it exist. It's not like neshama in the body. It's taka different.
That's why skeleton remains.
The skeleton has its own thing without the meat.
Something else in the body.
Correct. There's nothing to do with the neshama.
It's not only etzem loose.
No, the whole skeleton remains. Which means that the body, the skeleton of the body, not the flesh of the body, the skeleton of the body has its own power of Hashem keeping in existence that has nothing to do with the neshama. Because the neshama does not create the body, the neshama gives life to the body. Hashem's existence in the world creates the world. It doesn't only give life, it does also. But it does more than that, it actually creates it. And therefore, if it leaves, it would disappear. Taka different. Right. Correct. But that's, like I said, it's still connected to the neshama. And therefore, that part of it stays in it.